God's Word Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
You don't need to have heard last week's message, but if you did hear last week's message, I preached upon the passage in Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, where Moses said to his brother-in-law, "We're going on a journey to a place where the Lord said, 'I'll give it you. Come with us. We will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel.'" And his brother-in-law's reply was, "I will not go." That was his response to the gospel. I will not go. Now, I want to look at a passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 24 where the response is different. Verse 58, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, 'Wilt thou go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" I've entitled this message, "I Will Go." The book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, has been said to be the seed plot of the whole Bible. Every doctrine of the New Testament is stated and illustrated in the book of Genesis. Genesis does not only tell the story of creation, but it tells the story of the new creation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll remember that the Lord said, "You search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And this book of Genesis testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. It's not just old stories. People call it the old Bible. You can't possibly understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. And the verse that I just read came out of the longest chapter in Genesis. And it's the story about Abraham sending his servant to find a bride for his specially promised son, Isaac. And in this passage of Scripture, we have a beautiful picture of gospel preaching. Now, what is this thing about a man standing up and preaching from the Word of God? What is it supposed to mean? Now, in this long chapter and long story, it's an allegory. It happened indeed, but it's allegorical to teach us something. Now, there are five people in this chapter. Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how much he's a type throughout the Scriptures of Christ. He was born supernaturally the way the Lord was. His mother had already gone through the process of menopause, and he's born supernaturally. We have that beautiful story of him in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham was to offer him up as a sacrifice to God, and he bore the wood and the fire up the mountain for his own execution. And we know the Lord supplied a substitute for him to die in his place as the ram. So he's such a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebekah, in this story, is a type of the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord in this story is a type of God the Holy Spirit. And the unnamed servant, some think he was Eleazar, but he's not named in our text. Eliezer's name comes up in Genesis chapter 15, some 60 years before this, and it could have been the same servant. Maybe it wasn't, but the servant was unnamed. He represents the preaching of the gospel. And Abraham commissions him to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. Now we read in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt take not a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaan, among whom I dwell, but that thou shalt go unto my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. I want you to go back to where I'm from and bring a bride back for my son Isaac, somebody of mine own kindred. Now, this is picturing the preacher going to preach in order for the bride of Christ to hear and to respond. Now, you'll notice in verse 14 of this chapter, the servant says, hereby shall I know that thou hast appointed this one for Isaac. Now the servant knew that whoever Isaac had for his bride would be the one God appointed for him. It says the same thing in verse 44 of our text. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath pointed out for my master's son. Now, when Eliezer, this nameless man, I shouldn't have called him Eliezer, we don't know what his name was, but when he goes out looking for the bride, he knew it was the one that God had appointed. Now, every gospel preacher knows when they're preaching the gospel that they're looking for God's sheep. They're looking for that one God appointed to salvation. Every gospel preacher believes the glorious truth of God's electing grace. This man knew that he would be finding the woman that God had before appointed. What is election? God chose who would be saved before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now this man knew that God had appointed the bride that he was looking for. In verse 5, the servant gives his fear. And the servant said unto him, after Abraham told him to go do this, the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into the land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now I can see where he had some fears about what was going to take place with this woman. She may not believe my report. She might not believe when I tell her of the greatness of my master and the greatness of his son. She may not believe that report. She may not be able or be willing to love and marry someone she's never seen. Now that's what he was going to be calling on her to do. I want you to come with me and be married to someone of great wealth that you've never seen. She might not have been willing to do something like that. She might not have been willing to leave her homeland and go to the land of promise. It could be that the covenant was meaningless to her. Now, the servant says, what do I do if she's not willing to come and follow me back here? Do I need to bring Isaac to her? Do I need to make things easier for her? Do I need to change things to accommodate her so she'll be more likely to believe, so she'll be more likely to fall in love with Isaac? Do I need to market this and package this and make it easier for her to comply with the terms? Abraham said, don't you dare. Beware that thou do such a thing. There is to be no compromising of the message, no compromising of the gospel, no attempt to make it more attractive to the flesh. God does not negotiate with sinners. The message is not to be changed to make the sinner more likely to comply with the terms. All that is compromising the gospel. Abraham said, "Don't you dare do that." Now, let me repeat the statement I just made. God doesn't negotiate with sinners. There are non-negotiables. The Bible is the Word of God. This is not up for debate. It claims to be the Holy Scriptures, inspired by God, literally God breathed. That's what the Bible claims to be. It's either all the Word of God or it's not the Word of God at all. There's no in between. And the Bible is the Word of God. That's where we get our message from, the Holy Scriptures. God wrote a book. And He who is so powerful that He can create the universe out of nothing can inspire men to write a book and keep it preserved throughout the centuries. God is God. That's a non-negotiable. He rules. He reigns. He is all-powerful. He's absolutely sovereign. He's utterly independent. He's immutable. He is who He says He is in His Word. That's non-negotiable. We're not going to try to soften that to make sinners more likely to accept Him or receive Him. Men are who the Bible says they are, completely evil. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That means that if God leaves me to myself and doesn't do something for me and intervene, I will go to hell, because I am by nature, choice, and practice dead in trespasses and sins. Man is who the Bible describes him to be. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And salvation is as the Bible describes it. Here's why a sinner is saved. Because God, before the time began, chose that sinner to be saved. If that sinner is saved, it's because Christ took that sinner's sin and took it to Himself and put it away and completely made a full payment in that sinner's room instead. That sinner is saved because God the Holy Spirit comes irresistibly and invincibly and creates life in that sinner's heart, giving them the grace to believe the gospel, and they will. Everybody that God elected, Christ died for, and God the Holy Spirit gives life to, will persevere looking to Christ only all the way to the end. Now, that message is not to be softened to make it easier for the sinner to receive. Now look what he goes on to say in verse 7. He says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence." You don't have to worry about the results. God the Holy Spirit will cause the results to take place. The preacher's powerless in this. I can't make somebody believe, but the Lord will send His angel, God the Holy Spirit, that will move in that sinner's heart and cause them to want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. "And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." Now, if the woman won't comply, well, you can't make her comply, and you're clear of the oath. You're not responsible. It's God the Holy Spirit who will go before you and make that woman willing. So we go on reading, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand." Oh, listen to me. The gospel is all the goods of God. It's so glorious. It's worthy of God. It's all that he has. It's all that he is. The gospel is his glorious gospel. And that's the message we bring. And this man brought 10 camels loaded with goods. And I have no doubt that this represents in gospel preaching, the 10 commandments are preached in this sense. You haven't kept one commandment one time. Now that's part of gospel preaching. You haven't kept one commandment, the 10 commandments. I haven't kept one commandment one time. And if I believe I have, all I prove is I don't really understand the law. But the 10 commandments is also the 10 commandments fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Him paying for God's sin, for the sins against God, and taking that sin upon himself and giving his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience of the 10 commandments to the believer. Now, the servant comes with this glorious message, and he thought, here's how I'm going to know. When this woman comes to draw a well, if I say, give me to drink, and she gives me to drink, and then she gives my camels to drink also, I will know that this is the woman the Lord has appointed. So before he even stops speaking, Rebekah comes. He doesn't know for sure that she's the one. She was a very beautiful woman, the scripture says. And he said to her, would you give me something to drink? And she gave him something to drink and willingly got water for all 10 of his camels. Can you imagine how much work that was to provide water for 10 camels? And he knew, this is the one. He was excited. This is the one. She is complying to what I've asked. Verse 15, it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, which was Abraham's brother. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little of thy water. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man was wondering, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. Now, there's two things that are pointed out about Rebekah. She was very beautiful, very fair to look on. And she was willing to do what the servant asked. Now, Christ's bride is very beautiful and willing. You see, he's made her so. The reason Christ's bride is beautiful, the reason God's elect, the reason every individual is beautiful to God is because they're clothed in the very righteousness of Christ and they look just like Christ. He made them beautiful and he made them willing in the day of his power, and they're all willing to be saved by the grace of God. They're all willing to love one they've never seen. They're all willing to follow one all the way to the end that they've never seen. They're beautiful and they are willing. And they respond to the gospel. Now, she now brings him to her home. You see, she's of the family of Abraham's brother. And remember, Abraham said, I want a bride out of my home. And she brings them to her family to let them know of this glorious news. And they bring this man in to eat supper with them. Now, we read beginning in verse 32. And the man came into the house and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him. But he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. I'm not here to be provided for. I'm here to give the message of my master. That's what my purpose is. It's to give the message of my master. And he said, the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. Now he's talking about Abraham as a type of God the Father. Oh, the blessedness of the Blessed One. He is infinite. He's holy. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-wise, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. There's nowhere you can be where He's not. He is independent. He has no needs. He is immutable. He cannot change. Oh, the greatness, the holiness, the absolute justice, the glory of God. And look what He says next. And Sarah, my master's son, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him hath he given all that he hath. God has given everything to Christ, and all that God has for the sinner is in His Son. God will not speak to nor be spoken to apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be for Christ's sake. All God has, He's given to His Son. And the only reason any believer will be saved is not because of anything they've done, but because they're in the Son. All God has for the sinner is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Notice He didn't say, with whom I'm well pleased, in whom I'm well pleased. That's why Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. All of God's mercy, all of God's grace is in His Son. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, this is good news because nothing is expected of me to contribute to save myself. It's all in Christ. Is that good news to you? It's all in Christ. So he tells Rebekah's family about what had taken place, about how he said the one that gives me something to drink and offers to give water to my camels, that's the one the Lord has appointed. And lo, all of this happened. He recounts the whole story. And he says in verse 48, after he saw that this was the one, I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter into his son. And now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. You know, the gospel calls for a verdict. The gospel calls for a verdict. Tell me. Well, they said, ask Rebekah. Ask Rebekah. We can't speak for her. Ask Rebekah. And they said, give her 10 months first. Give her 10 months to stay with us. Then she could come. And the man said, no, it's got to be right now. You see, faith is for right now. If you look to something you're going to do in the future, or if you look to some experience of the past to give you assurance, you've missed Christ. Faith is for right now. The command is now to believe the gospel. Anything else that works, if you're looking to the future or the past, you're believing in works somehow. The command is right now to look to Christ only. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was going to go to be the wife of a man she'd never seen. But I have no doubt that she had listened to everything this servant said with regard to Isaac, and she wanted to be with him. She said, I will go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. She said, I will go. Verse 61, and Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man that was leading them to Isaac. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah, she'd never seen him before. She lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she got off her camel. She hit the dirt. You see, if you ever see who he is, it will bring you down. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord? Then said I, woe is me, I'm undone. She came down and she covered herself with a veil. You see, when you come into Christ's presence, you know you need his covering. You know you need his righteousness to cover your naked soul. She comes to him for a covering. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he'd done, and Isaac brought her, Rebekah, into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac sees his bride, and he loves her. You see, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his bride actually is eternal. And he knows who they are. Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The servant brings Rebekah, who is willing to come. And when she does see Isaac, she goes down. She sees her own sinfulness, perhaps for the first time. But Isaac loved her. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's eternal. It's saving. It never had a beginning. It'll never have an end. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That describes every Rebekah, everyone that makes up the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have a beautiful illustration of gospel preaching in this story before us. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.